I thought I had peace. I know every night when I would go to bed, I would pray the prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I prayed that thing, man. But I didn't know. I didn't know. But you know what? When the night that I got saved, y'all know my testimony. The night that I got saved, it was raining, it was thundering, it was lightning, and I walked out of that church after I gave my heart to Christ, and my whole world was lit up. Seemed like it was light and sunshiny outside. And what had happened? It was finished. The battle was over. It was finished. There was no more war between me and God.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today as we continue with our series on spiritual warfare titled Looking for a Reason to Fight, with the conclusion of Part 7, Shoes of the Gospel of Peace. So please open your Bible to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 15, as we rejoin Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Part 7, Shoes of the Gospel of Peace.
The bottoms of his shoes were ingrained with nails and other pieces of metal to provide greater stability in the battle. God wants his soldiers to have stability in this Christian warfare and not be tossed about by strange doctrines and unbelief. It just blows me away that people get involved in so much stuff. Yeah, I was watching a preacher this morning on TV. And man, it was just a circus. It was a great big circus. That's all it was. And nobody was getting rooted and grounded. And he was saying things that, man, I was trying to figure out, where are you finding that in the scripture? Where did you get that from? And people sitting there shouting and running up, throwing money on the front. Yeah, that'd be a good thing here. Maybe we need to do that for... Maybe we can start that for pastor's appreciation. Just come on. Y'all come on up and just throw it up on the stage. But they was throwing money. And I'm sitting there thinking that, man, look at these people. They're just being tossed by everything that's being said. Everything that's being said. Oh, we were in the concept class this morning. And one of the saints in the concept class, we were talking about what Bethany believes. And we were talking about Jesus Christ, and I made the statement. I said, I don't believe in a virgin birth. And one of the students stopped and looked at me. Oh, wait a minute. Whoa, wait a minute, Pastor. I don't know if I want to be a member of this church. And then I went on to clarify it. I said, well, you know, Jesus was born just like anybody else. What we believe in is the virgin conception, amen, that he was conceived uniquely. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost. But you know the thing that just blessed my heart, that blessed my heart, is when that new member had that frown on their face and looked at me like I was crazy when I said that. Because you know what that tells me? That tells me that they're coming with some foundation. That tells me that they're coming and they're not going to believe everything that Pastor Glaze says if it don't line up. They're not going to believe it. Now, I do believe, once again, the concept of the virgin birth. You know what we know what you know what I'm talking about. That concept of the virgin birth. But what I'm saying is that Jesus was miraculously conceived. That's the issue right there. He was miraculously conceived. But you know, it just, like I said, it just blessed my heart for a new member to look at me, say, "Whoa, Pastor, back this train up. We can't go down those tracks." And that's what I'm talking about. The stability, and not being blown about by Satan. Satan got all kind of false doctrine and false teaching out there that's just blowing people each and every way. One day I'm believing this, the next day I'm not believing that. Next day I'm believing this, and I'm just being tossed to and fro. Unbelief. But you know what? Jude 24 and 25. Y'all should know it. I quote it just about every Sunday when I get ready the close. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. Man, when you focus on God, you've got the peace that I know that I know that I know that this is what the Word of God says. And when you get grounded in the Word, now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling. Satan is trying to trip you up with false doctrine. He's trying to trip you up with false belief. He's trying to trip you up to believe this and trip you up to believe that. Now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling. But if you don't let yourself be kept, then you can't be protected from the devil. These shoes, the gospel of peace, these sandals, the purpose is mobility, stability, and then durability. As the Roman soldier marches on rough and hot roads, as he climbed over jagged rocks and trampled over thorns and wades through steam beds of jagged stones, his feet needed much protection. A soldier whose feet are blistered, cut, or swollen cannot fight and often is not even able to stand up. And this is a perilous situation in the battle. You know, man, when your feet start hurting, when your feet start hurting. I know that's not good English, but we being real this morning. When your feet hurt, you got problems. Can you imagine a soldier that got blisters on his feet, or a soldier where somebody he stepped on a rock and he doing one of these numbers? He's not going to be on a battlefield too long. God loves you so much that He gave you a pair of shoes to help you to have some stability and some durability in the battle. Thank God. Now I want to close with this right here, and that is the prophet from the sandals. This is where I want to close at right here. The prophet from the sandals. What is the prophet from these sandals that we have here? Well, these sandals are called what? The gospel of peace. And while we as God's people come under attack from Satan, we can stand against him. And the reason that we can stand, because we have the peace that he speaks of in verse 15. God gives us a threefold peace that places our foot and our feet on solid ground. The first peace that I want to tell you about is that we have peace with God. Peace with God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Don't turn there. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, now, having peace with God. Romans 5, 1. We have peace with God. You see, before I got saved, I fought with God every step of the way. I fought with God in my sin. I loved my sin, and I held on to my sin, and I fought with God in my sin. I fought with God about living my life the way that I wanted to live it. I fought with God about having my way. There was this constant struggle between me and God, and God was fighting against me, trying not to bring me down, but God was fighting against me to try to bring me to Him. And I thought I had peace. I know every night when I would go to bed, I would pray the prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I prayed that thing, man. But I didn't know. I didn't know. But you know what? When the night that I got saved, y'all know my testimony. The night that I got saved, it was raining, it was thundering, it was lightning, and I walked out of that church after I gave my heart to Christ, and my whole world was lit up. Seemed like it was light and sunshiny outside. And what had happened? It was finished. The battle was over. It was finished. There was no more war between me and God. Instead of me fighting against God, I'm fighting with him now. I'm fighting with him. And that's what Paul is saying here with these sandals, that if you've got the sandals on, that you've got the gospel of peace, that you're no longer at war with God. You've got peace with God. This is a vertical peace that you have. There was a preacher who had gone on a battleship, and he shared the gospel with some of the men on the battleship. And as they were listening, one young man listened intently, and afterwards a preacher got along with him and began to talk to him. And as he talked to him, he was about to lead him to Christ, and it just seemed like the young man didn't want to accept Christ. The preacher left to go back. Later on, the battleship was hit, and it began to sink. And they had to put some of the soldiers off real quick into rowboats. And as they began to get in the rowboats, this young man did not make it into the rowboat. But he had told one of the men on the rowboat, he said, if you ever see that preacher who was here on the ship, let him know that I did commit my life to Jesus Christ. And as he was sinking, and as he was going down, the man who he told that to said his last words were, hey, I'm all right because I've made peace with God. I'm here to tell you that when we have peace with God, we know that God is now on our side. God is going to fight this battle for us. What is it, saints, that you're dealing with right now? Is it finances? Is it illness? Is it relationship? What is it that you're dealing with right now? If you've got peace with God, just like this young man who was going down underneath the water, knowing that he was going to die, he could die knowing he had peace with God. My brothers and sisters, Satan is coming after you, and Satan is coming to destroy your peace, and you better tell Satan, you better let him know that I got peace with God, that me and God are on speaking terms, and you better watch out. Yeah, I was thinking about preaching a message from Revelation 19 when it talks about Jesus Christ, who is the bridegroom, how that the bride that he loves, that he's coming back, and he's going to take care of all the bride's enemies. And I was thinking about preaching a message. My boyfriend's back, and there's going to be trouble. My boyfriend's back, and there's going to be trouble. See, you need to let the devil know. Look, that's my father right there. And you get ready to let yourself in some big trouble, buddy. You know who my daddy is? No, you didn't. Do you know who my daddy is? You didn't come up here with that, did you? Let me set you straight right now. I want to let you, that there might be a lot, I might have a lot of issues in my life. I might have a lot of things wrong with me, but let me let you know one thing here right now. Let's get it straight right from the giddy up, jump street, whatever you want to say, that God is my father, and I got peace with him. See, that will take you a long way in this battle. Just knowing that I've got peace with God, that this vertical relationship is right between me and God. The prophet from the sandals. First of all, we have peace with God. Oh, then the second thing that we have is that we have the peace of God. The peace of God. Philippians. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your heart and your mind. The peace of God. Think about this for a moment. Think about this. That God is perfect. God is a perfect being. God has all power. God is everywhere. God knows everything. God is perfect love, perfect righteousness. Check this out. What happens that causes God to freak out and say, oh my goodness, I don't know what I'm going to do. I got to find something to do. What happens that causes God to react like that? Absolutely nothing. Nothing. God, within his very character, Deacon Corbin, we sang a song at the men's fellowship. Deep, deep, deep down in my. Amen. Amen. We talked about the love and the joy, but one of the things that we said, we got the peace. God's peace is rooted in his very being, his fiber of who he is. God is peace at the center of all that he's about. Nothing happens that freaks God out. Nothing happens that causes God to go, ah! Nothing happened that causes God to be shaken. Look at this, look at this. Now, the peace of God. The peace of God. You have that. Oh, saints, do you see that? The peace that is rooted in the very nature of God. Paul says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, is in you. And so when Satan attacks you, man, you got to somewhere reach deep down inside of you and get that peace and bring it back up and let it help you to deal with your situation. There was a submarine that was doing some maneuvers out in the deep waters, and they had gone down to the bottom of the ocean for an evening, and they came up the next morning and they made radio contact. And the person on the radio said, man, you guys must have had a rough night out there last night. It was storming and thundering and hurricane-type situation. And the guy said, we never even felt anything. They were at the bottom of the ocean. They felt absolutely nothing. See, when you're in the center of God, when you're rooted and grounded in God, man, the whole world can be falling down around you. The whole world can be shaking and crumbling and baking and all this other kind of stuff. But you're just like, yeah, it's like peace, you know, peace. You know what I love to see? I love to see a quarterback at the end of the game when they're losing by a touchdown or less and a quarterback that doesn't get shaken. That quarterback just goes out there, calls the play, drop back, and pass. Let's go. Let's get the next play. Come on, come on. Where's the next play at? Not freaking out, not getting angry, not screaming and hollering at people. Let's just move the ball down the field. See, we need some saints that when the enemy is coming against you and there's less than a minute in the game and he's throwing the best defenses at you to try to stop, that you just, okay, all right, that's all right, that's all right. Blue 42, check. You know, man. Just peace. Man, you don't get shaken. I'm not saying that you're irresponsible. I'm not saying that you're blowing stuff off. But you just, all right, okay, all right. Let's just settle down here. Yeah, let's just work through this thing. Why? Because I've got the peace of God. I've got peace with God. That's my vertical relationship. I've got the peace of God. And that's my inner relationship. And then finally, I've got peace from God. Peace from God. Ephesians 1, 2, Romans 13, 18, Psalm 34, 14. I've got peace from God. What does this mean? Since we have peace from God, we ought to be taking this peace and sharing it with others. God has called us to be peacemakers. Instead of letting the devil cause confusion and strife, we are to take this peace from God and use it as a weapon in warfare. You know, you got one of the most powerful weapons to do battle with, peace. That you can come to situations and you can bring peace. See, the problem with a lot of saints is that some saints are peace takers, some saints are peace fakers, and some saints are peace breakers. God said, be peacemakers. That's what you need to be, is a peacemaker. We got all that we need to make peace. Our Father is the author of peace. Our brother is the Prince of Peace. Our helper gives the fruit of peace. We've got peace with God, peace from God, and the peace of God. How can you lose with the stuff you use? You got everything you need to make peace. You got everything. When some stuff goes down, No, Satan, we're not going to let you get up in this thing here. No, no, you're not going to get in this. You're not going to get in this. You know, I am a peacemaker. I got peace with God. I got the peace of God. And now we're going to do business for God. We're going to bring peace to this situation. You see, that Satan, you know what Satan? Satan gets in relationships and tears them up. Satan loves to get in relationships and tear them up. He loves to pit husband against wife, parents against children, church members against church member. Satan loves to get in that and cause all kind of confusion. But if you will purpose in your heart that I am going to be a peacemaker, I'm going to be one who initiates peace. I'm not going to let the devil get a victory. I'm not going to let him get the stronghold, because I'm going to bring peace to this situation. There was two men in the church that had got into an argument over something silly, something stupid, and they stopped speaking to each other. And one brother in the church saw what had happened. He decided he's going to make peace. He went to one. He said, "Hey, Brother Smith, do you know Brother Jones?" He said, "Oh, that no good, dirty, low down, so-and-so." He said, "Yeah." He said, "But one thing you would have to agree with, that he does treat his family right. He is a good family man." And the guy said, "Well, yeah, I would have to say that." So he went to the other brother. He said, "Hey, you know what the brother so-and-so said about you?" He said, "Oh, I can just imagine what he said. I don't even want." He said, "You know, he said you were a pretty good family man." He said, "Oh, he really said that?" He said, "Is there anything positive that you can say about him?" He said, "Oh, no, he's just no good and low down." He said, "But don't you think he's a good businessman?" "Well, yeah, I got to give it to him. He is a good businessman." So he went back and he said, "You know what Brother so-and-so said about you? Brother so-and-so said that you are a good businessman. He said that about me? I can't believe it." He brought these two brothers together. They shook hands, agreed, and their relationship was restored. What was this man? This man was a peacemaker. He was a peacemaker. Is that your desire? Is your desire to bring peace? You know, I see ladies especially spending hundreds of dollars on pedicures to make their feet beautiful. And they spend a lot of money just to make their feet beautiful. We're not going to go into all that they do to make their feet beautiful. And I know that it's appreciated. I know that it's appreciated. But let me say this. That you want to get some beautiful feet for free? Let me show you how to get a pair of beautiful feet for free. Look at Romans chapter 10 and verse 15. Romans chapter 10 and verse 15. It says, "And how shall they hear except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of..." Ooh, you can get a free pedicure right there, brother and sister. A free one. You don't have to have an appointment for this one right here. Next time you think about it, you know, getting the pedicure, and you realize that there's a relationship that you can bring peace to. Let me say, after I go down here and get my pedicure, let me go show how beautiful my feet are by trying to restore a broken relationship. Let me bring the peace of the gospel to this situation. The shoes of the gospel of peace. Do you have that peace with God, the peace of God, and peace from God? If you've got this piece of equipment on, you are ready to stand in battle. Notice what he said. He said, having your feet shod with the preparation, be prepared. Put them on.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were challenged by today's teaching. Join us next time for the first half of part 8, The Shield of Faith. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, Shoes of the Gospel of Peace, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request Shoes of the Gospel of Peace, or program number 061022. That's 877-831-5060 and request Shoes of the Gospel of Peace or program number 061022. Today's teaching was part 7 of our 12-part series, Looking for a Reason to Fight, and the entire series is made available by request. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, is taken from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.